and welcome, my friends and listeners, to the Magic Apothecaries podcast. The White Witch and the Magic Apothecary here, Mary Elizabeth Macari. A little bit of Sinead O'Connor in the background and a bunch of other Celtic music today, listening to very softly. And here we are talking about Samhain. I've done this before. I've done Samhain work before, so we do it again every year. And every year is a little different, and I have different perspectives, as anybody else does, as a witch and as a pagan. I just was watching last night this beautiful video of Mummers dances, or Morris dancers, excuse me, in Wales, dressed up as undertakers, doing this Morris dance with a whole bunch of people there in a very solemn circle. And that is my heritage. I am not just Welsh, but I am also Irish and Scottish, and I have a little bit of French in me. So that upper Northern European stuff kind of appeals to my bloodline and me, the instinct inside of me, as well as the Southern, as I've said so many times. I am Italian and from Greece and lower Southern Italy. So anyway, I just finished a show. I did that show I was talking about. I did a show about becoming a witch and witchcraft. I did that on Saturday here in New York City, and it went well. People were quite touched by it. I think I did a good thing, and I hope that people understand the pagan path a little bit better than they might have before. I hope that that's true. I hope I did a good thing in the eyes of the god and goddess. I did talk about both of them, and I did end up singing about both of them. I used 1990s, because that's when I became a witch, pop music and other types of spiritual music, including work by Lorena McKennitt, to focus upon and change a little bit and bring forth. And I ended up singing The One by Elton John to the God form, which was great and cool and really intense, and singing several songs to the goddess, including Sister Moon by Sting and all kinds. I mean, a lot of different music, including I did a beautiful song called Dante's Prayer by Lorena McKennitt as well at the end of my show. And people were quite touched. I got a standing ovation. Yay for me. And I think I actually taught some things about the burning times and things about witchcraft in general and its path and what it is and what it came from. And so I'll say that to you guys. You may not know. I talked a bit about witchcraft, or witches, and wicca and witche and witch. The word comes from the root witche, which in Old English meant wise one. So witches were considered to be wise ones back then, and we still are, many of us, very wise. So anyway, here I am, and we're talking about Samhain. I am speaking to you on the 28th of October. The new moon has happened yesterday in Scorpio. We are in Scorpio. That is when Samhain takes place in Scorpio. And Scorpio is very much about the underworld, very much about death, about the other side, about the place we all go after we leave this body, what some people call our meat suit. You know, we are where our spirit returns to. Where does that go to rest when we say rest in peace? Well, the Greeks believed it was something called Hades, and that's where Hades himself hung out with Persephone, his goddess wife, a queen who's down there for only half the year. The rest of the time she spends up with us, a growing green thing with her mother Demeter. She is now descending into the underworld. She does so around the autumn equinox and stays with Hades all the way through till pretty much the spring equinox. And this is the time when things pull in and die. And when the myth goes that when Persephone descends to be with her husband, Hades, the king of the underworld, her mother Demeter weeps and mourns and stops everything from growing. Thus, we have fall and winter, and especially in the Northern Hemisphere at this time, the Southern Hemisphere at this time. And I do have listeners down there. Hi to you guys. Thank you so much for listening down in Australia, New Zealand, and even further south into South America. I really appreciate that you are here with me. And I'm sorry that I'm so Northern Hemisphere based, and I apologize for that. But you guys are going through a different thing entirely. It is Beltane down there, and it is the growing season and the sexual, powerful time where the god and goddess blend together and make everything grow. So good for you. I wish it was down there too. That would be nice to experience maybe both sides in one week or so. That might be really kind of cool. Anyway, so here I am, and it's on the edge of Samhain. Really, when we're in Scorpio, we start to see Samhain happening. So Scorpio's happened just a few days ago, and here we are with, if you look outside in the northern hemisphere, there's everything turning brown and leaves are falling off, and it's chillier than it has been, and it's been a little grayer, and the sun is coming up later and later now. We're going to change the clocks up here back to normal standard time on next Sunday after Samhain, and we will now be in the dark. We will be in the dark a good portion of the day, and that will happen now until Yule, when the sun does return, and it's a big celebration. Ever since I became a witch slash pagan slash whatever I am, I have not had any seasonal affective disorder depression. I used to have a really bad depression in the winter, but I don't anymore. I actually have more of a depression in the summer. This is too much light for me sometimes. I need a respite from the light of the summer sometimes, but in the heat. But in the winter, I know this is the winter. This in witchcraft or in paganism, in Celtic mythology and lore, which is what this is. This is a Celtic holiday, and thus I'm playing Celtic music, by the way. But this is a Celtic holiday, and because it's a Celtic holiday, we're talking about this wheel of the year that the Celts supposedly followed. The Celts are not just in Ireland, by the way. They came all the way up from India, all the way up in this sort of a sickle shape up through Spain, France, into the UK, up into Ireland, and up into Scotland, and some people believe into Scandinavia as well. So that's a whole thing that's not just Ireland and Scotland and English, but it is a lot of it English, and a lot of it sort of laid there, stayed there when they moved up there. That's why we consider Irish music to be Celtic, or Scottish music is Celtic, but it's actually Gaelic, a different kind of a language, but I diverse. Anyway, Samhain is one of the high holy days, if you want to use those words, of the pagan calendar. Of course, Beltane being its opposite is the same high holy day type of Sabbat. So this one is about death and rebirth, and it is what witches call Witch's New Year, and Witch's New Year is the beginning of new life. And even though we're in the darkest time, we're like, what do you mean it's new life? How can it be new life if indeed everything is dying? Well, everything is happening under the ground. There's going to be a lot of magic and alchemy going on underneath the Earth itself, in the underworld where Persephone is. She's really represents the seed, the growing seed that will come again in the spring. So that's where we get that idea of this goddess being under there and, you know, being the queen of the underworld, and then she rises again. But there's also other myths that go along with this time of year. We're talking about the Holly King and the Oak King, and the descent of the king into the dark as well. You know, things are growing now. There are holly bushes in heavy, it's heavily laden with berries at the moment, and that's the new king of the new year, the Holly King. And the Oak King is going underground. He is seed, and seed is going underground. So if you think of it logically, a lot of people get confused by this myth. The Oak King is an acorn, and the acorn goes down into the earth and grows a new tree at this time of year. But the Holly King, holly bushes are actually blooming. I have one right in front of my house, luckily, and it's blooming like crazy. Holly berries are everywhere down there. So, and the birds love that too, because at this time of the year, actually, it's the only thing they have, these poor things have to eat. By the way, I put this thing on Facebook, and I'll say this to my pagan friends. Feed the birds, please. Not a lot, but enough to sustain them through the dark time if you can, okay? Just a little. I don't feed them in the summer, because they have plenty to deal with, and plenty of bugs and mosquitoes and bits to eat. But at this time of the year, they have nothing. So I hear them out there, and I almost mourn for them, as they are also dying. And that's true too. A lot of animals at this time of year hibernate, pull in. We have bears go into their hibernation at this time of the year, and other animals as well. My squirrels are prepping here in Brooklyn for, and I have a lot of wildlife in Brooklyn. It's very strange. We have actually beavers here and deer in Brooklyn, New York, believe it or not, and Staten Island, actually. There's a lot more wildlife coming into the city, a lot of fish and growth here. So that's wonderful. But the squirrels are getting ready to go away for a little while. They emerge quite skinny in the spring, or early spring, late winter, hunting up their acorns and bits of things that they've hidden, berries and whatever else they put down there. So anyway, so that's what's going on. This is one of the last times that animals will give birth out in the wild. They will give birth in October, early October, and generally speaking, they don't do so much over the winter. Cats that are out there, or deer, or other wild animals do not produce any kind of babies at this point in time, they do actually have a lot around the time of Imolc, which is in February. So they do start mating again in December or late December. And that's all based on the light cycle. Animals are much more attuned, or we used to be, I try to be, to the light cycle. I'm talking to you now at like 12:30 in the afternoon, and it's already a little dark. You know, it's getting like the height of noon is not as high as it was 2-3 months back. So we have to pay attention to the light and the color of the light, and that affects our bodies. That slows us down. We know, even as human beings, this is the time of the year where there's harvest, harvest, harvest. We just finished Mabon, big harvest. Lugnasa, first harvest of corn and wheat. And now we are into what they call, used to call the meat harvest. Not the kind of meat we harvest now in factory farms. No, this was when there were animals maybe you had who were faltering or too young to make it through the winter cold, and you would slaughter them and smoke them and keep them. And our ancestors were omnivores. I am not an omnivore. I'm a vegan at this point because I don't need to be an omnivore because I don't need meat because I have plenty of growing green things all year round, thankfully. But our ancestors did not. They had to slaughter in order or hunt at this time of a year and so that they could survive. It's one thing to not, if you don't need it, you don't need to do it. That's my opinion. A lot of witches are very deeply into, and it harm none, do it thou wilt. If as long as you're not harming anyone, you can do whatever you want. Love is the law, love under will. That's really a Crowleyan statement, an Aleister Crowleyan idea, a thelema. And a lot of Wicca was stolen from Aleister Crowley, or not stolen, appropriated by Gerald Gardner. Not stolen, just sort of borrowed and used after Crowley was sort of gone. So anyway, and it harm none, do it thou wilt. And that has to do with the idea of don't harm animals either unless you have to. And if you have to do it with love. Used to be that animals used to be asked to sacrifice themselves to the tribe or to the king or to the leader of the tribe. And supposedly they did. And there are plenty of myths about a great stag kneeling to the god, to the king, the stag, you know, the god of the horned god, bringing its best, his best stag to the king. So that it would sacrifice itself for the tribe and it would survive. So people also used to give tokens of thanks to these animals, would use every single part of their bodies and would use them as, you know, and they would be honored and revered and spoken of for the entire year as a sacrifice that saved the people for the next year. So that's that. But that's not going on here in modern society in the West at all. And there are places where people do have to survive on what they can hunt and kill, fish for, or whatever. Not happening here. We are in a gluttonous state, in a very foul state of being where we're kind of destroying our mother, the earth, and our brothers and sisters, the animals, for no apparent reason at all, except for gluttony, which is, as the Christians think, a pretty big sin. But anyway, we will all get our karma on that. And I think we already do. I think a lot of us get sick because we eat too much meat and too much tortured animal flesh. And we pay for it with our psychological diseases, with our physical diseases, with our spiritual diseases as well. So that's my 5 cents. Anyway, so it is Samhain. And let's talk about what to do on Samhain. What is Samhain? You know, what is it? It's the Day of the Dead. And if you look into the Mexican tradition of La Dia de los Muertos, this is a beautiful day where people celebrated their ancestors. And also this goes on in Italy and south of Italy. It goes on pretty much all over the world where people do honor their ancestors. And people, and I know for sure in Italy, go to the mausoleums where their families might be, or wherever they can get to. If they can get in to see their dead, they will sit and cleanse the bones, and they will actually have lunch with them on All Souls Day and All Saints Day. So that's the 1st and 2nd of November. Really, Samhain is really November 1st. Ish. It's like we celebrate most Sabbats as witches the night before after sundown. So it's really, you know, Halloween night, the 31st after dark, which is pretty early in the day. So that's why we go out on Halloween night. That's Hallow's Eve. That's when the dead walk amongst us. And what that means is that based on our, you know, idea of the veil being thin at this time of year, pagans, pretty much everybody besides even pagans, admit that at this time of the year, the veil is thin and it is a time to talk to your ancestors. So that's the first and most important part of Samhain. Certainly trick or treat and having a party and celebrating life is part of it. That's the other half of it. So the first half of it is saying, okay, the dead are amongst us. Thank you for what you've done for me, my ancestors. Blessings on you in the afterlife. I will join you and I hope you will accept me in again as part of your tribe on the other side or in rebirth if you believe in reincarnation. And, you know, you revere them, speak of them, leave out food for them. My first Samhain I ever had was early on in my studies. I left out food and it was gone by the morning. So it was great for me and my son to say, hey, maybe they came and took it. But what I think happened is the squirrels took it or the stray cats took it. But anyway, it is a good day to leave out something. It's nice to have an outdoor space if you have one, even if you have a fireplace, if you're in an apartment, and leave out a small, you know, little candle if you can, if it's safe to do so, in the glass container so, you know, it doesn't hurt anything, and light it for them to light their way. You can make a little circle of flowers or fruits and or put in, like, whatever you like, what they might drink, your ancestors, what they might want to eat if they were alive, their favorite foods. That's a good way to go with just that much is enough in many cases, even just leaving out some fruit for them, for anyone's ancestors who may be walking by in the night. So even if they can't eat it because they are not in physical form, they can know that you cared enough to leave it for them. And maybe they can take it with them to the underworld and have it there. So that's part of the lore of this. Also, people do different things. I have done a lot of different Samhain rituals. People have something called the Witch's Ball here in New York City, which is a pretty big thing. And they do it up in Salem as well. And people go up and maraud. They go and have a great big party and dance and sing and just enjoy their fact that they are alive and in the body. And usually the next morning or that morning, they will do a very solemn ritual. Or at midnight, we do a solemn ritual to honor the dead, where there's a lot of calling out names of the dear departed and honoring them, talking about them. People do meditations to visit them in the underworld, which you can do. They speak to them. They write to them. They sing to them. They dance for them. So it's a combo of two things. One foot in life, enjoy that we are in the body and still able to use the five senses. And the other side is knowing that our foot is half in the grave and we're going to join these people inevitably at one point. And we hope that our, you know, future generations will honor us the same way. So that's kind of the basic idea of balance between life and death. So as we go into this dark time, we want to remember that these people are with us always and can be called upon always. But this is a wonderful time to also do divination, do tarot card readings or crystal readings or throw the shells or, you know, any kind of, you know, any kind of divination you enjoy, palm reading or scrying is a good time to look into your crystal ball or your black mirror and get answers from your ancestors who are all around you. And for sure, I feel them. For sure, I hear them. I've had some really interesting dreams where people are telling me about herbs I should take or oils I should use on candles for certain reasons, seriously. And also, somebody whispered in my ear just yesterday morning and told me how to solve a problem, and I'm pretty sure it was my mom. So that's how it goes when you accept it. At this time of the year, you need to accept the fact that these people are here. Ask them for help. I don't know who might show up for you. I don't know ever who's going to show up for me. But I think that it's time to say, okay, I'm here. I'm an open channel. Please send me wisdom. Please talk to me now. This is the time I need to speak to you. I don't need a medium to get through to you. So let's just have a conversation. And on that note, you certainly can do on Samhain different things. Lots of people just like to celebrate and then honor the dead in a big party. Some people like to do this privately. You can have a ritual where you set up the altar to honor the dead. I like to use pomegranates because they do represent the seeds that Persephone took, so she made a deal with Hades as to how many months she would stay in the underworld based on the amount of seeds she ate. So that's an important thing. Plus, the pomegranate itself really offers us hope. It's a womb itself. It's like a womb with all the eggs in it or seeds in it, both, to produce further generations, future generations. And the idea that the seed is somewhere to right now, fallen into the earth and growing, even though we can't see it, is what the pomegranate might really express. Some people like to do, you know, they bury seeds and they grow, start growing seeds or put seeds down so that they can make that symbol for themselves on their altar or in their ritual. You can use all sorts of ideas along that line. Also, I like to think of decoration. And so people ask a lot, what shall I put on my altar? And there's tons of ideas all over the internet. You can find them on Pinterest. You can find them in pagan sites. Easy to do. You have your four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. And within those four elements, you can use your imagination. You can use your imagination as to what kind of earth might you use. I like to use at this time of year, seeds and acorns. That's my earth symbology, what I use. Not saying you have to, but it's a good one to me because I need to honor the fallen god and to honor all of those plants and beings that have worked to pollinate those plants for me so I can eat and live another year. So I put those on as earth. Air, I like to use really interesting incenses, really earthy smells like vetiver and different kinds of like spices. Like I would use cinnamon, maybe I would use frankincense maybe too, or I would use cobalt or things that are very earth smelling, deep smelling, green smelling, or dark smelling herbs. As long as they're not poisonous, please do check anything you make. Thank you very much. And make sure it's not poison. Also, you can buy those kinds of sticks. You can go into a witchcraft store and look for Samhain incense, or you can find them online. Any of those kinds of smells. Even if you just want to use cinnamon or pine or wood as an incense, you may. And that's great. Or you don't have to use incense at all. If a lot of people have asthma and can't handle. So I say just put up feathers, and I would use crow feathers if I had them at this time of the year to represent the dark, the Morrigan, the dark side. I would also say for water, how would you hold water to represent the afterlife? Perhaps in a beautiful silver or crystal bowl, you know, with some kind of shimmeringness to it. You know, the eternal movement of water, even in underground places. And earth, air, fire. Well, fire is easy. Just any kind of beautiful black candle will do for you. And I like to keep it both ways. I always put a black and a red candle because I want to represent the dark and the light, or black and white. You can use those if you like. And I also always think about at this time of the year, I'm honoring the horned god or the dark god or the, I don't know, underworld god. We're honoring Hades. That's a good example of it. It's not Satan. Please don't say it's Satan. I hate anybody who says that it's not Satan. Satan is not involved in Wicca in any way, shape, or form, or in any kind of really pagan world. We're talking about a format, a god that lives in the underworld, but that is a good god who does good things, and that the underworld needs to be ruled. When we pass away out of this body, we need to go somewhere, and he is the king of that place. He is not evil. He is a good god. So let's put it that way. He is a strong god. And that's like almost saying all Scorpios are mean. I mean, he really does represent Scorpio. Scorpio is the horned god. And Scorpios are not bad people. They are actually wonderful people and enlightened people and very powerful and strong people. And so that's it with the Hades thing. So I would also, maybe if I'm going along the Greek line, I would say, okay, Persephone, let me put her there, and Hades. Or I might use the god Cernunnos, which is a horned god in the Celtic tradition. And maybe I would find a goddess like the Morrigan to go along with that. She's a goddess of death and transformation. So, or Hecate, which is a Greek goddess of the underworld as well. She stands at the door of the underworld with her three hounds. And some people love using Hecate or speaking with Hecate on Samhain. I actually do. I think Hecate really is a Samhain goddess to me. You can go Greek. It can be Italian. It can be Northern Celtic. It can be Norse. It can be any of those things. Now, if you're a Native American or Mexican someone from South America, or you're Aboriginal Australian, there are different types of deity that are used by those types of people. I do not recommend that if you are Caucasian and or Northern European or European in general, you dip into other traditions unless you are with people who do them and you understand them, because they are different for a good reason. People have been on different lands and have had different food and have had different paths. So that would include to me Asian, if you're not Asian, and or Indian gods and goddesses, unless you are just using that as a tool when you are meditating, or if you want to reach out to those types of things, those types of beings. I would also recommend great study. But if you are European, which I think most of my audience is, and that to me means all the way from Scandinavia, all the way down through Greece and to Turkey, in Syria, even to the Middle East. So If you're of that descent, Caucasian descent, I recommend these kinds of gods. Look at your family's ancestral history. If you don't know it, try to guess. I also recommend, I think this was the coolest, one of the coolest things I've ever done is take, I know people think it's dangerous, but I took an ancestry, a DNA test, and I found out exactly where my family is from. And it kind of made sense because I had been drawn to the gods and goddesses from all these different places and wondered why. Why am I drawn to, you know, Ishtar when I'm Italian? Well, I'm also Syrian and Turkish, so that made sense then. But anyway, it's a good thing to do if you're interested in, you know, looking at the bloodline of your ancestors and what rituals they might have done way back. So those are things you can do. People like to also make lots of food on Samhain. People do, who are meat eaters, like to use meat because it does represent the meat harvest. And or you can use tubers, grow, you know, potatoes, sweet potatoes, any kind of green vegetable that is available, any kind of vegetable that might preserve well, like corns or things like this. Also wheats, breads, pies, fruits. Just think Thanksgiving, really, in a lot of ways, but also sweets. It is a big sugar holiday. And the reason for this and why I think Mexican people use sugar skulls and other places eat sugar all around the world at this time of the year is, again, to remember that life is sweet. That's why we hunt for candy on Halloween in the Western world with our children. We're hunting for candy. We're hunting for sweets. We're hunting for the sweetness of life, even though we are surrounded by death all around us. One of the best things I've ever done, and I like to do, and I think I'm going to do that this year, very small with just my husband and myself, because I've already done a lot of work ritual-wise for Samhain. I think I'm going to do a mummer's supper. And what this is you enter a sacred space and you call upon your ancestors. And then you wait for them, and then you eat with them. So whatever food you want to have, it doesn't have to be very special. It can be just anything that you think that whomever you're calling upon or want to visit with might enjoy. And you can enjoy it for them, but have them come to you and say, you know, what do you have to say to me? What's it like on the other side? And listen, this is called a mummer's supper, and you can look that up online now. That's pretty commonly known about. You sit quietly, you wait, and then you don't say anything at all. You are mum. You are silent. You let them speak to you. And when it's over, you take down your magical circle or your protective space and go on with your life and don't speak about it. You never tell anyone what the dead said to you. That's supposed to be that way. Also, it's a great time, as I said, for tarot reading. So it's a great night to have a good ritual and bring out the cards or bring out anything you want to play with. I am not against Ouija boards. I don't believe people become possessed by Ouija boards. I do believe that whatever's around needs to be controlled. So if you're good at controlling spirits, it's a good time to say, hey guys, you want to come and talk? And if you get somebody who's not nice, banish them. It's very easy to do. All you have to do is say, get the hell out of here. So that's pretty simple. They will not come through a Ouija board. But it's also fine to just, like I said, scry, tell people's fortunes, speak about the future, be ready to just hunker down until Yule, which is December 20 to 21, when the sun returns. So it's kind of a nice thing in a way. I like the dark time because to me, it's a sleep time. This is a time where I say, let me just be like the seeds and the animals and say, this is a preparatory time. This is a time to celebrate family. This is why we have, you know, holidays. Like in America, we have Thanksgiving, and then we have a big Christmas holiday coming in. And people are happy to be with family, want to be with family, remembering life. I think that's the important part of this time of year. What's my next purpose? It is New Year's. It's our New Year's time for witches. So what's my New Year's resolution? What do I want to have going by the time the light returns again, when the sun rises again, when he comes back and sheds his beautiful light upon the earth so that we can all survive another year? And that's a lovely thing to remember. That holiday is amazing. And it's just around the corner. If you look at it, it's October 31 or November 1 and 2 when we have this holiday time. And then within a very short period of time, by December 21, we are back to the light. And then we have Imolc, and then we have Ostara, and we're back to the bright sunlight and growing things. And in the southern hemisphere, they are experiencing that right now. They've already gone through those beautiful holidays of rebirth, and they are now in the height of the green growing beautiful season. I love Beltane. It's such a gorgeous holiday. And one thing you want to think about on both sides of the equator is this: what's going on the opposite side? Because that's what these holidays are about. What's happening on the opposite side of the wheel? This is the life. This is the force of fertility and growing things, as well as death and rebirth and destruction. We cannot have life without death. We cannot have death without life. So it's both at once. It's a wonderful thing to remember. It's a very powerful holiday. It's also a good time, and why people wear costumes, to bring up something that you might want to explore in your subconscious. That's why we get, you know, sexy vampire nurses running around the world at this time, or people dressed in all sorts of odd costumes, you know, superheroes maybe, or movie characters, or the president, or whatever. You know, people want to be, you know, make fun of, or poke a little fun at something, or become another character. It's like cosplay, becoming someone else, becoming something else for a short period of time. It's a holiday of transformation, of the veil moving, being thin enough so that you can make fantasies come true. And as I said, this is a good time to think about, what is it that I want until next Samhain? This is our new year. What are your resolutions? What are you working on? What do you want to heal in yourself? What do you want to help others heal? What is your next goal? What is your idea? So that's my Samhain talk. And everything else that's going on is pretty, you know, nice as far as witchcraft goes. I haven't seen much in the news about any kind of strange political doings. Although I do see it is more and more popular, witchcraft, being a witch, in particular for women, particular in the Northern Hemisphere, in particular in America. We are growing in large numbers. And what a witch means to everybody is different. What I come from is a traditional British tradition, plus a Southern European tradition of Greek and Roman magic. That's what I have learned and what I work with. But people work with all sorts of different things. And witch now means almost feminist. It means powerful woman. It means every woman is a witch. Every woman is a witch. Every woman has wise blood. Every woman does. I was singing a song the other night, and I recommend you listen to it if you are a woman and looking for this empowerment. A lot of women don't believe in the triple goddess. They don't like the idea of being forced into a patriarchal idea of what womanhood is, being the maiden, the mother, or the crone. A lot of it's just based on the moon. So it's not really about forcing women into roles. It's more about being the seed, being the growing thing, and being the dying branch with all the seeds and wisdom for the next generation. So there's a song by Wendy Rule called Deity, and it's about being that deity, becoming the deity. And if you're interested in that, I recommend it. Plus, she also has some lovely songs about Hecate and other things about the underworld. And there's so much music now. I just plugged in, you know, Samhain music, and I got a billion hits on what to choose. And I chose some Celtic music because Samhain is a Celtic holiday, as I said before. Anyway, so what am I saying? Explore, try, see. Wonderful part of this, I choose my way, you choose your way. You know, do whatever you like. It is a good time for magic as well, by the way. Removal magic. If you want to send things away and start fresh, it's a good time to do that before Samhain. But the new moon is new right now in Scorpio. So it's also, I believe, this day and for a couple of days coming into Samhain, a good time to plant new seeds. It is a New Year's ritual. Even though we are honoring the dead, we're honoring our dead things, our life, the things we've lost, the things we didn't bring to fruition this year, the things we failed at, the things we walked away from, the people we turned away from, the people who have literally passed away and left us, all the people on this earth who have left the body in this year between this Samhain and last, we are saying to them, we remember you. We remember you. You are here amongst us. We will never forget you. Your life was not for nothing, and we love you. So that's the whole holiday. I hope you have a wonderful one. I really do. I love this holiday. Most witches really do. I love this holiday. It's a very special day for us, and it's great to reclaim it back. This is our holiday. This is for the wise ones, for the witches, both male and female. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you have a blessed holiday, and may the God and Goddess always surround you and give you all you ever want. See you soon.